Threes at 101.3 ESPN.
Sports and sports talk for the Champlain Valley. WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh, 101.3 ESPN.
Major League Baseball spring training news. The Red Sox currently down 6-1, ninth inning. That game being played against the St. Louis Cardinals. The Yankees are currently up 9-6 against the Toronto Blue Jays. In Patriots news, running back Deion Lewis, free agent to be running back Deion Lewis, was on the Adam Schefter podcast today on ESPN. He doesn't sound too confident that he'll be back in New England. We'll break that down early on here in the huddle. And also, interesting news out of NBC Sports Boston, where Patriots reporter Tom E. Curran says that tight end Rob Gronkowski was not happy with the team last season because they did not agree with the way that he wanted to train. And Mark Daniels of the Providence Journal says the team wouldn't even allow him to write an article about Gronkowski's training methods in 2017. We're in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and we're always streaming. So take us anywhere on the 101.3 ESPN app.
The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. On the count of four. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. Woo! How you doing, big boy? How you doing, handsome?
You all right? Well, yeah. That was a good one.
You like that?
How you doing, big boy? How you doing, handsome?
I mixed it up a little bit.
Which is which? Am I a big boy or handsome
or both?
You're
still handsome. I just went hello to Brady first.
I noticed that. Am I slacking on your priority list?
Can I just change something up real quick? I want to just say, how you guys doing today?
Instead of...
Is that okay? Is that better?
Instead of The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady, can we just be The Huddle with Arnie, Handsome, and Big Boy?
We could do that, but I'm going to talk like this. I'm going to talk like this today.
Oh, why do you need to do that?
I'm bringing down my jovial meter.
Why? It's a beautiful friggin' day
outside. I know that, but I
haven't been outside. Is it when I sound?
Oh, that's no reason to be happy.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous out.
I'm bringing down my jovial meter because we got an email from somebody who said they couldn't listen anymore.
No, we did not. We got a Facebook message. Do you understand what any of the things come in on, what any medium? When it's a tweet, you call it a text. When it's a text, you call it a tweet. When it's Facebook, you call it an email.
Wait, are you saying did somebody write it in or video it in?
They wrote it in on Facebook. Therefore, it is a Facebook comment.
Listen, they were mad at me. Yes, they couldn't listen.
There's
because
I was mad at you.
Because
yesterday.
I was too jovial.
Felix?
I didn't know what he meant at that time. And then it was because of King Felix. And I'm saying to myself, I'm thinking about this. I go, too jovial. Let me explain something to you. First of all, if you take my jovial meter and started it at a 10 from 1 to 10 and jovial meter 10 was the highest, let's subtract 3 right off the bat because it's baseball. So my jovial meter went from 10 to 7 right off the bat on the jovial meter. Take off another 3 points because it's February, okay? So it went from 7 to 4 on the jovial meter.
And then we could take down more because Arizona's a bunch of cheaters and who.
Wait, but he could and Brady could be jovial about a felony, but right, take off a couple more points because it's the Mariners. It's a 6-5 pitcher, and he wasn't even really hurt. All of a sudden, you think I'm so jovial? I couldn't care less.
You like dancing on my unhappiness.
No, you just take it that way. And it was the Mariners. The fact that it's a 6-5 pitcher in February that didn't get hurt in baseball, in the West Coast, I could care less. I'll give you maybe 2 more points because it was Brady's team. That was the only reason why I was happy.
Yeah, exactly.
You care more about
you're a mean-hearted person.
So because of that, because I was so...
You're a mean one.
I was a jovial from what? Let's say a 4 out of 10? That bothered you because I was jovial from a 4 out of 10?
You being happy at my unhappiness makes the listeners unhappy.
Let me tell you something. If you were up... If it was 3 games to 3 and the Mariners were in the World Series and you were up 10-0 in the ninth...
Don't even care. You're muted. Whatever you're about to say, you're muted. So... Whatever you're about to say.
I put you in the World Series.
You're muted.
Oh, jeez. I put you in the World Series. And if
that's,
you lost.
That's a good point. Yeah. He did put you in. And you made game seven.
Whatever he was going to say was going to involve
and
heartbreak.
If you lost, I'd be the jovial.
Jovialist.
Is that the word? Is there a jovialist?
Sure, it is today.
I'd be the jovialist.
The
of
most
all time.
Jovial.
Would it be the most jovial?
Yes.
That doesn't sound right.
I like jovialist.
It's get, the most
get
jovial.
Get Miriam on the line. Miriam Webster.
Arnie, did you really just say that?
I'll be the most jovialist of all time.
Is there actually a person named Miriam and Webster?
No, they're two people.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Miriam and Webster.
I thought it was just one lady named Miriam Webster, but I... No, I'm serious. I thought it was...
She's like, really smart.
Yeah, it's hyphenated.
Like, well, I didn't know.
Well, in this day and
age... Have you never looked at the dictionary?
No, I have it on the app. It doesn't say Miriam. I just thought, wow, she had did the whole dictionary herself. That's pretty cool.
I thought this guy tore you a new you-know-what, and yeah. I look at it, it's like, that's nothing compared to what you usually get.
Well, I shouldn't be so jovial. I mean, it's like when I was too braggadocious.
Oh, that's right.
I've been turned off now because I'm too braggadocious.
Your braggadociousness is too high.
What's worse, braggadocious or jovial? I didn't even know jovial was a problem.
You're asking me?
So I guess I have to apologize for being so jovial. By the way, nothing even happened to him. He had like a sore elbow or something like that.
He appears to have dodged major catastrophe. Wait, it's a deep bone bruise.
I have a quote here from a doctor. It's a boo-boo. Is that correct? That he has a boo-boo?
Says the guy who missed 8 months last year for a sore hamstring of the men's league hoops season.
A boo-boo. You guys gave me grief because I was too jovial over a 6-5 pitcher in February.
Hey,
that had a boo-boo.
Here's what I have to say about that line drive off Felix yesterday.
This is a big effing deal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Case closed.
Our intern said, I'm asking for another beating in a 1-on-1 from Brady.
Yes. 21-0.
You still haven't beat me 21-0.
I think it was 21-1.
21-1, 15-0, and somehow inexplicably 15-3.
Trimboli won't beat me 21-0.
Oh,
stop. I promise you that.
You'd never even take a shot before it was over.
I promise you that. The ball would go right between his forehead when I was done with him. So, yeah, I guess I'm bringing down my jovial meter a little bit.
So no, don't.
No, don't bring up the jovial
especially
meter.
Today. We should be doing this show on the porch.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful outside. You were at RJ's yesterday. I left right before you got there.
Were you actually there?
I was actually there.
I was at RJ's, and I ate a lot.
What time did you guys get there?
8:15.
I left at 8:14.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. I got there. Jeez, you know what? I probably left like right around 8:14 and 30 seconds. I was there.
The digital world.
Maybe it was like 8:20 or so.
Maybe 8:19 I left.
Yeah.
There.
No,
I was there.
Saw you coming in.
By the time I got home and got down there, it was already after 7 o'clock. I think I left like 10 minutes right before you got there because we chatted
out
left.
Yeah. I had Taco Monday. I enjoyed that. Yep. I had two tacos, and then I got 12 wings, 6 kitchen sink wings, and 6 golden barbecue.
Look at you. Oh.
And a couple of Cokes.
And then a pizza.
Well, that's it. So, yeah. We chowed down, me and my son.
You
would
did.
You call that?
Well, we had popcorn, shrimp,
24
and
wings.
I don't know.
No, 12 wings.
12
I
wings.
You, oh,
each.
I thought you said 12, then 6, then 6. Okay.
Yeah. No.
I had the popcorn. I forgot what my kid had. I had popcorn, shrimp, and then we ordered wings as an appetizer, and then it brought us the wrong appetizer and said, here, just have that. And we ate the poppers, too, and I was just waddling out of there.
I'm shocked you didn't lead the show with the fact that we're TV stars.
What?
What?
You didn't see that?
Yeah.
No.
You know how we do the brewery broadcast, the 101.3 ESPN Winter Craft Beer Tour?
Yes.
Didn't you know that Brittany from Local 2244, What's on Tap, was there filming us?
Oh, you mean Britt?
Yes.
Yes, because we're very tight now.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, Britt and I.
Anyways.
Yes.
But so we were on the news the other day.
I didn't see it.
About our broadcast at First Republic, and there was our ugly mugs front and center.
How did I look? I looked the best of the three.
You looked as ugly as ever.
Yeah. They do that on purpose.
Rich had a dopey wave to the camera.
Gosh. Oh, there's a shock.
You got to stop doing that.
I can't stand cameras.
Yeah, I know. You're very awkward around camera.
If I could do this show in a corner of my own room, yeah. I'd be happy.
You're very awkward.
I'm just happy
that's weird that way.
I'm just happy that I was in it because when you guys were in the big Lenny's commercial, I somehow was omitted from that one.
We digitally cut you out.
Yeah, we went with the two best looking guys.
Yeah. They said we can only do two. Let's go with the two best looking.
So you guys
wasn't
much
of a choice.
The most Hollywood potential is what they
told
me.
Hey, you're being too jovial now. Slow it down there, big boy. That's an no, 8 on the
handsome.
Jovial.
I'm big boy.
Okay, that's an 8 on the jovial meter.
So
slow
I'm jovial
it down.
And handsome.
Yeah, you got to be. That's get it down to 6 there. Let's cut that out. We don't want to start losing listeners. So
well, I'm thinking about going out tonight with this weather. Doesn't this fire you up to want to do something?
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, no, tonight, I want to save up.
Trivia night at RJ's.
I want to save up for trivia night tomorrow with the City Sports Grill.
How about both?
No.
I mean, my choices downtown I'm looking are a Grateful Dead tribute, indie folk, and eclectic vinyl with a band called Local Dork.
Oh, I'm there.
Those are my downtown choices tonight.
Yeah, I was going to say I'm so bored because I didn't have basketball all week this week. I don't know what to do with myself.
You should probably practice.
I was going to say, is that basketball? Is that what you call that?
Yeah, I'm trying to do something. I'm completely out of it. I don't have any games. We have a bye week in the YMCA.
A bye week.
Yeah, I don't have my Monday, Wednesday thing.
To rest up.
I'm falling apart. I got nothing going, all right?
We got UVM tonight.
By the way, are we having Tom Caron on at 4:37?
We're supposed to.
In 10 seconds.
Are you sure?
I don't know.
He's calling the Red Sox game today.
Well, he'll call us right from the game's about over. Gets ninth
inning. I know that, but I didn't know if they have postgame. I'll tell you what. I was hoping that the game was going on and that he would put the game on hold to talk to us.
Well, yeah, Rich.
That would be awesome.
Rich last year called us from doing the scoreboard of high school games and decided that was more important than talking to us.
We got Tom Caron calling Red Sox games and telling the umpire to hold it up a little bit while he talks to us. Right. And he couldn't even call us.
Literally, last year, the first time we talked to Rich, he was doing scoreboard at whatever that stadium's called.
Dodd Stadium.
Dodd Stadium for high school games. He's like, guys, wait a second. I got to put the ball and strike counters
right.
up.
Scoreboard is a very difficult, intense job.
Oh, yeah.
You
I'm
literally
sure.
can't look away or talk to anybody for 3 hours.
But and Tom Caron could call Red Sox and call us.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see what.
And, of course, he keeps posting these pictures. I mean, I'm going to be doing this in 8 days, so I shouldn't whine. But, man, stop posting spring training shots. I can't wait 8 days.
What I can't wait is when you get back from vacation because you're staying in an Airbnb. And I love that.
With a 75-year-old woman.
I think that's fantastic. There's no doubt that one of the other guests is going to get into a fight with you. I can see that happening.
Let's hope not. She got all 5-star reviews. So
maybe
I'm not
she'll
sure
bake,
what
you, bake your cookies or something like that.
That sounds good to me.
That's awesome.
Every Airbnb experience I've had has been great.
Really?
Yeah. The first time, my first week here on the job, I stayed at an Airbnb with a couple and their kids. And they left me alone the whole time. She left me a nice pitcher of water in my room every day.
Wow.
And chocolate on my pillow.
You see, that is not the...
A great woman. I forget her name, though.
See, that's no fun to get rich scared. But if you have a really bad experience with Airbnb, please get it on the Town Fair Tire text line at 802-655-6672.
Well, it was hard for me to wean myself away from the $29.99 roadside one-star special hotels.
You're not getting those in Phoenix anymore.
No, I know, and it sucks because that's what I want. Yeah. And then you suggested this Airbnb, so I'm staying with some little old lady in her condo in some place called Sun City.
Yeah.
I mean, how bad can that be?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure. And while you're staying with other guests, I'm sure some of them
is
going to be a psychotic killer.
That's nice.
Rich, can you open the door?
So much for 5 stars.
It's me, Fred, the psychotic killer next door. I just want to talk to you for a minute.
But you suggested the Airbnb, and you know what? 4 nights, $118. Thank
you. Can't beat that. You can't beat that.
Even the roadside dumps are more than that.
Yeah. See, could you imagine if I was like, open the door? Come on in, Rich. All right, Brady, what's coming up in the show today? We got a busy show going on.
Tom Caron of Nest in 25 minutes. From now, 4 minute football fix, 5 o'clock. Greg Wyshynski, NHL writer at ESPN, 5:20, and our daily spring training update at 5:35. But first, I told you this 3 weeks ago. Deion Lewis frustrated in New England. I didn't think he would be back this year. And while he didn't say he was frustrated in New England today, he did speak to Adam Schefter about his future. Schefter asked him in particular, "Do you see yourself possibly being back in New England next year?" This is how he answered.
Hopefully it'll work out, but you know, at the same time, you can't always think that way. You got to take care of yourself and your family at the same time. So you know, it'll definitely be tough, but I think it'll work out. I hope it could work out, but at the same time, you know, I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. You know, I know how the team like to handle their business, and you know, as a running back, you gotta make the most of your opportunity. And me being the player I am, my main thing is making sure I could go out there next year and show people what type of player I could be. I still think I could improve from what I did this past year. So my main thing is just, you know, making sure that I'm valued. That's my biggest thing, make sure that I'm valued the way I value myself.
I don't think he's back.
He has a 0% chance of coming back, which is what I told you when the season ended. I said that I never liked the running back situation to begin with. I was never a Lewis fan. I think he's gone. I think he's overvaluing himself. I think the Patriots are undervaluing him, and I don't even think they're going to be close. You better not put all your eggs in one basket because you're not going to have anything left. He's going to be gone. I don't know where he's going to go, but he will be gone.
That was about 90 seconds to say, I'm not staying. I mean, you could just tell, and it's a shame because I don't know what to think as a Pats fan because, man, when he had it going – and they'd given the ball for 15, 20 carries a game. He was as good as anybody, but it just wasn't part. He didn't fit into that part of the offense. This is more of a pass-based offense. How many times during the year do we say, let's start running the ball 20, 25 times a game? And it just never really materialized and hasn't for a long time.
Well, I think that Lewis wants to go to a situation where, as he said, he's valued, and I think that means valued monetarily. I think that means also valued in terms of his role. I think he wants to go and be a lead back. And a lot of Patriot fans will say, oh, he's not good enough to be a lead back. He's just part of the system. Look what happened to Vereen. Look at what happened to Stephen Ridley. Look at what happened to all of these guys that left Foxborough. And you know what? You might be right. But he's earned the right to test free agency, to make as much money as he can. He's already been to multiple Super Bowls and won one. He's got the ring. Now let him go chase the money and the role if that's what he wants. He owes the Patriots nothing, and maybe he won't be a lead back, and maybe he'll flop like those other guys did. But you know what? He doesn't owe the Pats anything.
I don't think that's the question. I don't even think the Pats care about him, to be honest with you. I think Belichick not even going to lose an ounce of sleep. I think that's like the tenth most important thing on his list. Nine other things he's more worried about than what he's going to do with him. And you know, I brought up the situation last time we talked about this, about the running backs coming out in the draft. This is a hell of a deep running back draft. Matter of fact, I pulled up some now. Listen to some of the running backs you can get in the second or third round or later, like Kerryon Johnson, the running back out of Auburn, who is really, really good as a third-round pick, which is unbelievable. Geist, the running back out of LSU, who they say could be a third-round pick also. Ronald Jones, the running back out of USC, who could be a third or fourth-round pick. They say Nick Chubb, remember him, the running back out of Georgia. Yeah. They're projecting him as a third-round selection. I mean, the list goes on and on of not only good running backs, great, the running back out of Arizona State, they have as a fourth-round selection. Wildly, the running back out of Iowa, another fourth-round selection, and one of my favorites, Royce Freeman, a third or fourth-round selection out of Oregon. All these backs available.
What about that kid out of San Diego State who I always hear about?
I'm looking down at him. Rashad Penny.
Yeah.
They have him as a third to fifth-round selection. Mm. To get somebody, I mean, to get any of these running backs in third, fourth, fifth round, sixth round, like Kelly, the running back out of Tennessee, or any of them, it's too deep of a running back draft to worry about Lewis. I'll go in a different direction. And plus, you've got, you know, sometimes you've got to trim the fat. That's where you start. You can't be paying five running backs. You start trimming the fat with Lewis. He's going to demand too much money. Use the money for something else.
And let's face it, if you're in that system, as long as Brady and Belichick are there running the show, and now Josh McDaniels continuing to be there, if you're a running back, you are probably option B or C, and that's just the way it is. It's always been that way.
I think the Rex Burkhead injury, take out my affection for Rex Burkhead aside, the injury, I think, will limit his suitors, the injuries that he had. I think he fits well in New England. I think he can play and play really well if he was healthy. I think the Patriots could get him back because he was injured. I don't think he's going to command a ton of money. So I think they could bring him back. The question I have about the Patriots at running back is they have to figure out what Mike Gillisley is this year. Is he going to be somebody that plays and contributes, or do they need to cut him? Because you start thinking about, okay, now we got to replace Lewis. Now we're going to cut Gillisley, and now we might lose Burkhead. Ugh. Now you're right. Right. It's a very deep running back class,
right.
But are you in a position to be drafting and signing three of them rather than one or two?
This is why you have to, because you're going to have to spend money on another position with two positions, really, that are going to kill you in money. The first one is you're going to have to worry about a tight end because Gronkowski's not going to come back. I see all the writing on the wall. And matter of fact, didn't he put on some cryptic tweet? Are we talking about this later on? Should I save this for later on?
We'll talk about it a little bit today or a little bit tomorrow.
But he put on some cryptic tweet about that, but I'll get to that later on. Here's the one that's going to cost you, and we didn't even talk about this. Danny Amendola. There's a chance that he may not come back. Now, you're saying, all right, so what's the big deal here?
That's a very big deal.
No, no, it's a big deal because he is a good player. But that's not
the
why.
The money to replace him.
The money to replace him because he's taking a bargain. Now, I want to say a bargain basement discount. He's making like $13 an hour. Yeah. I mean, really, he's
made, isn't he 3 years in a row? Hasn't he dropped the amount on his contract? I mean, where are you going to find that?
You're going to have to triple the money to replace him for somebody probably half as good.
Yep.
So that may – now, I'm not sure that
– you might extend Cooks.
Did you see the Wikipedia page of Brandon Cooks that somebody wrote about him, like MIA missing because of the Super Bowl and something like that, and it's still on his Wikipedia page? I was going to –
It was the second best Wikipedia thing you showed me than the goalie for the U.S. women's hockey team listed as Secretary of Defense,
yeah,
United States.
Yes. So – I'm looking at all this stuff, and Brandon Cooks is a big disappointment, like I told you anyway. But you have to replace Sam Amendola. That's gonna cost you some money, and you can't worry about running back. That's why you got to draft the running back and go. You probably have to draft two running backs.
I understand Edelman coming back, but we don't know what he's going to be. That was a major injury, obviously, that cost him the entire season. But I would do everything possible to get Amendola back on that team.
What are we talking about next, Brady?
The Bruins, baby.
No, I mean, we just got Travis and Milton said, yeah, football, baby, do the whole hour on football.
The Bruins are injured, and they're supposed to be headed towards the Stanley Cup. Yeah. What's the impact, Patrice Bergeron?
So Mike and Shazy, we're just going to do the segment for him next segment. He's the only Bruin fan and the only one that wants to listen to hockey. So, Mike, this segment is for you, the one Bruin fan.
Stop.
That wants to hear.
And intern Logan.
Okay, there's two people.
There's three.
So the two people that are sticking around for the next segment, because we're talking Bruins, intern Logan and Mike from Shay-Z.
What is wrong with you?
This segment's for you on 101.3 ESPN.
Step one, watch sports. Step two, talk about sports. Now, back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. All of a sudden, the Town Fair Tire text line comes to a grinding halt because I said,
stop.
I did what? 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 We get like a million texts.
Why do you hate hockey so much?
I like hockey.
You spend the entire 3 o'clock hour, 7 days, well, 5 days a week. I'm not hanging out at your house, the other two. Trying to get your kid some sort of hockey deal at Sault Ste. Marie or Moose Jaw or whatever, and yet you make fun of hockey as if it's boring.
And you know, and the Bruins are doing a great job this year also.
This is a big blow right here.
Here's what you would say, Arnie.
Arnie?
Nope, that's not it.
Rich, please, you're talking too much.
Well, it is hockey, the one chance I get to finish my sentences.
I'll wait till
almost.
Well, no, the playoffs. What's the playoffs start? You know, that's what.
Yeah. April?
And it doesn't matter to me if you're like a one seed or just as long as you're not a four seed.
I mean, right now they are so comfortably in the top three. They basically have almost clinched home ice for the first round. But do you want to go to Toronto for the second round? Do you want to go to Washington? Do you want to go certainly to Tampa? That makes it a little tougher.
The playoffs are so unbearably long both hockey and basketball.
I couldn't agree more.
I get it because of the revenue. I get it because of fan engagement. But come on. I don't need this, especially in basketball, where there's virtually almost zero chance of the one beating the eight or the eight beating the one, which you do get that in hockey.
Oh, yeah.
But you don't get that in basketball. To have 2 weeks for a series that's going to be over in five games anyways in the NBA is ridiculous. It's long been my complaint that both the NHL and the NBA should go back to five-game first-round series.
Or get rid of an entire series. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Stop it.
Really? Do you want to sit there every night and watch Vancouver and San Jose for 3.5 hours late at night?
When I'm watching the hockey playoffs, I don't look as an 8 seed playing a 1 seed, 7 against a 2. When I'm watching the NBA playoffs, that's what I see. Mm-hmm. I see the 8 seed has no chance of beating the 1 seed. Maybe one game or maybe the game's close. I'm watching the game going, okay, pull the upset. But I know there's no chance of them winning a 7-game series.
Right, and for whatever reason, home ice advantage isn't nearly as powerful as home court advantage. And it's always been that way. I mean, you see teams every year going 37-3 at home. I mean, the good ones, the Golden States of the world. That just doesn't tend to happen in hockey.
What's the latest on Bergeron? What happened there?
Well,
Brady?
Bergeron's out for 2 weeks. He's at least two weeks.
I thought it was four, but yeah.
It's at least 2 weeks. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, the team announced Tuesday. So he's got a fracture in his foot. He injured it blocking a shot against the Maple Leafs on Saturday. He played through the rest of the game, but he's got that fracture. It was revealed yesterday. Minimum of 2 weeks, but it sounds like it could be more for the Bruins' leading scorer.
Yeah. I mean, a huge blow, but a huge blow that couldn't be timed any better. You know, that's how you have to look at this. I'm assuming it's going to be a lot more than 2 weeks. I'm thinking it's probably going to be 6 or 8. Well, he's going to be well rested heading to the most important part. Well, if it's 4 to 6 or whatever.
Yeah, I said 4. But
yeah, but I mean, you look at him. They show the tape of him walking off the bus into Buffalo the other night in a walking boot, and you're going, uh-oh, something happened in Toronto the night before. He shows up the other night, you know, in the walking boot, and then goes out and plays. How hockey is that?
Yeah.
It's like the guy missing all his teeth, and he goes back out there.
The only thing I think, in a positive way, obviously it's before the playoffs, so that's a good thing there. Two, the playoffs, as you mentioned, Brady, so long, so you're not going to play back-to-back games. Though in the NHL, I don't believe they're as long as the NBA. Sometimes the NBA...
They play with more regularity in hockey than they do in basketball,
the playoffs,
which is also shocking.
The playoffs are every other night. Yeah, it's very well constructed, even though it's way too long.
You can go from a Sunday to a Wednesday to a Sunday or Saturday.
Awful.
3 games in like 7 or 8 days, or and if you get done with your series, you could be waiting like a week and a half, 2 weeks. But but for the most part, maybe give some of the other guys a chance to, you know, get into the scoring. Some of the younger guys move up. Everybody, it's like a trickle down effect. Everybody moves up a line, so maybe you can get some of the youngsters get some playing time here. Look, it doesn't help when you're trying to catch the lightning, but at least it gives other people playing time.
You know, you can. What is the phrase? Put lipstick on a pig.
Yeah,
on this one and try to make it look good. But, I mean, I guess Riley Nash moves up. I mean, getting Rick Nash probably helps just for depth. You bring a kid up maybe from Providence and move a guy up from the fourth line to the third. And there's a domino effect in all this. But it still comes down to the fact that he was automatically going to win the Selke again this year. He's the best two-way player in hockey, in my opinion. A great character guy who also has 54 points. And a guy who was in the discussion for the MVP trophy this year.
Well, look, if there's one thing that it's been made abundantly clear to me in hockey, that who your line mates are and the comfort with your line is very, very important. And now you've got the Bruins' top line taking a hit to its most important player, arguably, or at least its top scorer. So I don't know that you can bring the chemistry in with Riley Nash that you all of a sudden, that you had with Patrice Bergeron. That's going to take some time. And this is, you mentioned it being a well-timed injury. You're right about that because of where we are in the calendar year. But the Bruins have 8 games in the next 2 weeks. They are playing a very loaded schedule. Yeah. And now you've added some age to your roster and getting a 33-year-old in Rick Nash and a 40-year-old almost in Brian Gionta. You're hitting a bad time to be losing pieces because you aged your roster a little bit, and now you're playing 8 games in 14 days. That's not a good recipe.
No, I'm thinking strictly of where we are in the season.
And I think you're
right,
too.
And the fact that they're 20 games ahead of the fourth-place team.
I think. How many games left?
20?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right to think that way. I'm just saying I wouldn't be shocked if the team is 3-5-1 over the next 8 games, or 3-5, or 2-5-1, because this is not a good. I don't think there's going to be a particularly good stretch of hockey played here.
Yeah, I mean, they just came off that 2-3 road trip, and they absolutely stole one in Calgary and on the Marchand breakaway, and pulled out the game in Edmonton. So they've been kind of iffy the last couple of weeks or so, but before that, obviously, it was lights out.
I mean, look, and they play Carolina tonight. Should be a win.
That should be.
But
who knows?
Then they play Pittsburgh. That's tough. Oof. They're going to play Philadelphia in this time.
Philadelphia's like 10-0-2 in their last 12 or something.
Yeah, they are. Well, like
phenomenal.
You said yesterday, no Philadelphia teams are
unbelievable.
Losing.
To the benefit of the Bruins, though, they will play the Hurricanes twice, the Red Wings and the Canadians, and the Blackhawks twice over their next.
Whoever thought that would be good news?
Yeah, that was,
I know.
Say that's not all that bad there.
Yeah, how about the Habs last night? They can't even score. 6 shootout rounds plus a full overtime plus 3 periods. They can't put 1 puck in the net against the Flyers at home.
If you want to get on the Tom Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. Before we get to Sam Darnold, do you want to mention what you mentioned before the show about so-and-so playing?
I don't even know what you're talking about now.
The basketball game.
It's Anthony Lamb is going to play tonight for UVM.
So and so.
Well, I just wanted to make sure we were allowed to say it. Then I could see Brady go, you're not supposed to say that on the air.
No. Anthony Lamb will suit up tonight for UVM. He will be dressed.
Bravo.
He's not going to start. he is going to
play him 39 minutes.
He's going to play. He's going to play limited minutes.
Oh, come on!
I got to imagine he plays 10 minutes or less.
Ooh, that's more than I thought yesterday. I said five.
I got to say 10 minutes or less.
Yeah. This is the last regular
regular season game.
Now yep. I got to push him a little bit more than that. I got to get him ready
really?
For the.
Don't
I gotta
get him hurt
for the tournament.
I mean, it's 24-6 against 6-24. Don't get him hurt. I wouldn't be pushing him against Maine.
I'd let him decide himself. You come out when you want.
Of course you do.
Have you ever done that in your leagues? Not that I want to bring this up.
No.
Where you made the decision to come out, or is it your coach that tells you you have to leave the
coach,
court?
Yeah, the coach tells you got to leave the court there. But no, I'm glad he's coming back, yeah. So I'm excited about that. And I would give him a lot more than 6 or 10 minutes, to be honest with you, though.
What if he's just...
I wouldn't bring him back if he's going to be that sensitive. I'll be honest with you. I got to make sure.
I mean, not so much about – what about his conditioning more so than anything? Not so much even the health of the foot, but I would say the game conditioning is the thing I'd be the most interested in.
What are you calling him, Husky?
No, I'm saying that he hasn't been able to run for 6 weeks.
Right. That's okay. He'll work himself into shape. I'm sure he's been doing the bicycle and all that stuff.
This is the perfect game for him to come back and play whatever he feels comfortable playing, but I wouldn't play him more than 5 to 10 minutes.
I play him point guard. Let him get up and down the court and dribble the ball.
Probably still score 20.
Brady, what's coming up with Sam Darnold? Or what's going on with Sam Darnold? Because I heard this story, and no surprise here.
Sam Darnold, projected number one pick in the NFL draft, is not going to throw at the NFL Combine. He's going to go there. He's going to do the athletic agility stuff, the 40, the bench press, whatever the quarterbacks do. He's also going to do the interviews. Big surprise, no, because he's kind of seen as the number one pick. Should Giants management be disappointed, though? They've got the number two pick. Should they be disappointed Darnold's not going to throw?
He wasn't going to throw. Well, I don't know why they would take it personally. That's just business. That's the way it is done. If you can't see enough of him, what he's done in his career, throwing it to some combine isn't going to cut it anyway. And again, I always thought you put too much emphasis on the 40 and the shuttlecock or whatever the hell it is and doing this, that, and the other. I mean, that's all baloney, man. Look at the damn tape and see what he did on the football field. That's what you got to look at. So I have no problem with this, and it should be no knock against the Giants.
Yeah, I mean, why would the Giants be mad? How many passes has he thrown in his 2 years at USC? 800. I mean, they must
have. Well, he threw for 4,000 yards last season alone.
I mean, they must have some video of this guy a pretty good idea.
If you don't know by now and you have to see him throw at the combine, don't take him. If you got question marks now, you better go in another direction.
Shuttlecock.
Yeah, you got to go in a different direction.
I hear he's a great badminton player.
Or whatever that thing is where you go back
the
and
shuttle
forth.
Run.
I hated that. That's so painful. I hated that one.
As far as the Giants go, or as far as Darnold goes, the thing that means the most to me at the combine is the interviews. I want to see how he, you know, what's his presence in the room, what's his leadership qualities, what makes him tick. I want to be able to ask him the question, hey, how can you handle New York? I want to hear him say, I handled Los Angeles so I can handle New York if it comes to it. I want to hear how he handles talking with coaches, with front office members. Him being at the combine is important so he can do that. Him not throwing, I don't think, is a huge deal, and it makes sense for him. Throw it your pro day where you've got your own comfortable settings and your own receivers at USC.
And I think it's important for him to do a good interview because a guy like Josh Rosen is pretty clearly a media savvy. I mean, I've heard him about twice, and that was all it took me to realize that he could win over just about anybody in an interview situation. And let's face it, he's one of those guys that he's going to be going directly up against as far as how high the pick is.
Why wouldn't you say it's a direct shot against Cleveland?
Because I think the same thing still applies. Top quarterback. You know, this is not – the top quarterbacks have done this more recently, but, I mean, Manziel and Teddy Bridgewater, they didn't go and throw in 2014. They threw it their pro day also. Sam Darnold said he doesn't have any issue playing with Cleveland. Jordan Palmer, who we had on, who's training Sam Darnold, has said Cleveland is seen as a good situation by a lot of people around the league.
Trevor says, is it rude for me to hope for an early exit for Harvard so they can call up Donato to the team?
To the Bruins.
All for that.
Yeah, you can't. That's not wrong.
No, at this point, without their best player, I suppose the Bees could probably use a little infusion of talent.
Tom Caron's supposed to join us next from Nesson, but
the game is over.
Was there a post game? You know, the guy can't just go from a game to calling us, Caddy. Can he?
Doesn't he realize who we're dealing with here? This is Burlington, Vermont.
Right.
This is the huddle.
He'll be ready to go. Tom Caron, come up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Oh,
phone lines are now open. Get ready to call in at 802-655-6672. This is The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. We'll get Tom Kerin on the line. I don't know. He just called the baseball game. That's pretty important stuff there, Rich.
Yeah,
I would. The Red Sox.
He's going to be like, oh, bleep, I forgot. I got to call Burlington.
Give me a break, guys. I'm calling the Red Sox, you know.
He's been busy. I mean, albeit living a dream. I mean, all that beanpot craziness, and then he literally got on a plane after the championship game, flew down to Florida, and started announcing.
You know what I think about you play-by-play guys, you know?
Oh, go ahead.
No,
not
just,
that I care.
I wish it would have worked out with the Jets and the Dolphins back in the 80s. Remember when they had the
no-announcer.
The no-announcer game. It's just if that would have worked out that one time.
Yeah, but it didn't.
We would never would have heard about you.
Right.
Every game would have no announcer.
I would not have ever lived my dream in Norwich, Connecticut last summer.
It would be like 30 years later, hey, we should have announcers. Is he on the line? Get out of here.
That was quick.
Yes.
I thought you called a Red Sox game, Tom.
Hell, I did.
Well, you wrapped that.
You want me to sit around and savor the loss of the Cardinals?
No, I was looking at the score. I'm like, oh, there's no way he's going to be able to come on. He's got to call the game. There's a post game. Guy's busy. No way he's got to call the game. No way he's going to be able to call us.
Dude, it's spring training. Our post game show lasted 45 seconds. Red Sox lose. We're back here tomorrow. Have a good night, everybody.
That's right. Brock Holt had two hits. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
So. The whole J.D. Martinez thing is finally appearing to move on. I mean, what'd you think? It got a little circus-ish, didn't it, for a while there?
Well, today was an ugly loss, and at the end on the broadcast, Joe Castiglione said, any highlights you could think of? I said, yeah, J.D. Martinez looked good in batting practice. That was the highlight of the day. It really did get weird down here because, you know, Martinez was here. Boris and his crew were here.
Ugh.
And you know, this is a small town for Scott Boras to hang in for 5 days. In the end, it goes back to that ligament injury he had last year, the Lisfranc injury, as we say, the tendon. And it sounds like it was never adversarial. It sounds like both sides really did work together to try to come up with language that would protect the player but also give the team a little bit of assurance that if he missed a bunch of time because of that injury resurfacing, they'd at least get something out of it. And so they got that deal done, and it's the same basic deal. The only difference is if he's on the DL, a lot in the second and third year because of that foot, then he will have more trouble opting out after the third year. That's all. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. So, I think this stuff happens all the time in the winter. You just don't hear about it because it's not a spring training when you're waiting for the guy to put on a uniform. I think it was just a little too public here.
TC, one of the big takeaways I had, although I liked a lot of what Martinez had to say, the negative thing I took is that he wants to play the outfield a whole lot more than I think he's actually going to. Are we headed for any kind of trouble there?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know. I heard that too, and you know, that was the talk all winter, is that this is a guy who doesn't really want to slide into DH. He thinks he's a good outfielder, thinks he can play. Obviously, we think he could play in front of the Green Monster. DHing is not for everybody, guys. I mean, David Ortiz was a rare talent that he could use the time between at-bats to focus and to study and to look at video. You know, not everybody can do that. You know, you make an at-bat, and if you strike out, you got to go sit on it for two innings.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really an easy thing for everybody to do. So we will see how that plays out. I do think you'll play some, certainly against some lefties. I think you'll probably see Jackie Bradley Jr. get a game off here and there, Benintendi get a game off here and there. So hopefully that'll be enough to satisfy his need to get in the outfield, and that'll also give you a chance to play Moreland and Ramirez a little more often. But it's going to be, you know, I did a one-on-one conversation with Alex Cora yesterday. At the end, he said, now it's time for me to manage, with a big smile on his face. Because he's going to have to manage those three guys.
Penniman at number three in the order, or do you put that in pencil in case you want to move him to number two? And why is the Red Sox best home run hitter at number three, but the Yankees' best home run hitter last year was batting second?
Yeah, I mean, it's lineup's an interesting thing. You know, David Ortiz always wanted to bat third. Jim Rice told me he always wanted to bat third. Certain guys like to bat in a certain place with protection behind him. I think Cora's initial thought was to have Martinez batting fourth with Ramirez ahead of him, but I think you're going to have to flip that around once in a while, and when Moreland's in there instead of Ramirez, it's going to be a different look. So I think you'd love to have a set lineup. I think the reality is you're going to have to move the lineup around a little bit on a daily basis. But, yeah, at the end of the day, you really only bat in that spot once. First time up is where you're going to be third or fourth. You know, third guarantees you that first inning at bat. Some guys really like that. They don't like it on the 1-2-3 first inning. Now you got to go wait, especially if the DH still hanging around not doing anything. So I'm sure Martinez will have a conversation and let him know what he really feels. But, again, this it's a good problem to have, but it can be a problem. Yeah. Cora's going to have to figure out how to make these guys all fit in.
TC, I mean, obviously a lot of storylines, as always, down in Fort Myers. But, I mean, and I know we're five games into the exhibition schedule, but and he didn't play today. But Roseneck Castillo is tearing the cover off the ball. Does that mean anything for him? Why can't he play and be that fourth outfielder?
Because his entire salary gets added to the payroll, yeah. Which means they go way past the next level of the luxury tax,
okay.
Which means you wind up sacrificing, I think it's an international signing slot and a draft pick or something like that. There's just no way they're going to do that. And the problem with even trading him is if you have to eat any of his salary, that amount of salary that you're eating goes on your luxury tax threshold. Okay. So the only way the only way he plays in the major league is if they trade him and his entire salary to another team. Now, if he keeps raking, maybe someone bites, but I don't think it'll be a spring training. I don't think it'll be before the season.
Tom Caron, a Red Sox insider at Nesson with us here on the huddle, as he is every week. Let's go with Blake Swihart, a guy who we've heard about maybe being a guy who can play in the outfield and can also play a little infield as well, trying to make this team. One, what are his chances of making the team? And two, why the heck was he playing catcher against Northeastern if his best chance to make the team is in the outfield or at second?
I played catcher again yesterday, too. I think he's a guy that they want to see. Now, I think what they would love to do with Blake Swihart is, to, if he's on this team, to have a utility guy who might actually be able to catch 15, 20, 25 games a year. Because in baseball, a third catcher on the roster is an unbelievable luxury because it allows you to pinch hit for your catcher late in the game.
Yep.
You still have a third guy who can catch. And if Leon's in especially and you don't like the matchup, you can pinch hit and have another guy. And Swihart can hit. I'm telling you, so one thing he's always been able to do, coming up through the minors, this was a can't-miss offensive player. He was a shortstop when he was young. He was actually going to be on a Team USA for a junior team, I think his freshman or sophomore year in high school, as a shortstop. I don't know, somebody, I forget who it was, but somebody, you know, some shortstop jumped in and took it. But this guy's an athlete. He's a hitter. And I think he could be a utility infielder. Here's the stuff you jump to, though. Who's your bench? Okay, they're going to go 12 pitchers anyway, maybe 13, but I think 12. So that allows you to have four players on the bench. One is your backup catcher. So now you're down to three.
Right.
When Pedroia's back, Nunez is essentially one of those three guys, right? Now you're down to two. Where are you going? You going Brock Holt? If it's Brock Holt, who's the last guy on the team? Swihart's out of options. If you don't keep him, he's gone. So I think Swihart can make the team. I also think you're going to see him catch a lot here at spring training because if you don't think he's going to make the team, you want to get some value for him in a trade. And I think the biggest value to trade Blake Swihart is if you can trade him as a catcher who can hit. So I think you're going to see him catch a lot here at spring training.
TC, you just mentioned Pedroia, so give me the latest on him. What's going on there?
Great line today. We asked Alex, at this point, what is Pedroia able to do? And without missing a beat, Cora said, talk. Talk nonstop. He's got to talk his way back into the lineup. He's going to ramp up baseball activities. I think we're going to see him taking some live batting practice here next week. But the final stage for him and the final challenge for him is going to be the lateral movement, the side to side that you need to be able to do as a second baseman, and that's going to be the toughest on that knee. So, you know, Cora said today that Pedroia is really buying into the process now and realizing they don't want him to rush back. They're not going to let him rush back because when he comes back, they want him to be something closer to Dustin Pedroia of a few years ago, not the guy we saw in the playoffs who was really struggling.
I'm seeing a lot of names I'm not familiar with if I didn't know the Lowell Spinners as well as I do.
Try calling the game.
What?
Try calling the game.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh had 11 pitchers yesterday.
Yeah, and none of them have numbers under 65, so half of them aren't even on the roster. But all kidding aside, how is the progression in the pitching staff looking right now? Is anything jumping out at you? Anybody you're seeing that you're saying, maybe?
Yeah, Brian Johnson looked really good the other day, and he's going to pitch tomorrow out of the bullpen. I think he's the inside guy for the number five spot to start the season. And it's an interesting schedule if you look at it. They start the season with six games in 6 days. Then they have 3 days off in the next six. Mm. So you need a number five starter at the beginning of the season, but then you don't need a number five starter for a little while. And what that means is they're not going to rush Steven Ryder, Eduardo Rodriguez, even if they're ready for the start of the year. Why rush a guy back for one start and then you're not going to use him for 2 weeks? So I think both of those guys are not with the team at the start of the year, and I think Johnson, Velasquez, maybe Elias are the three guys battling for that fifth spot, and I think Johnson has the inside track. He looked good the other day, two strong innings, perfect. He's going to pitch again tomorrow. I think that's a big takeaway early. I think Brandon Workman has looked pretty good. He looked really good today. And then, you know, I'm waiting to see the top of the rotation guys. And it's an interesting strategy that Alex Cora is employing here. They're not even pitching in games, and we might not see them pitching games until late next week. Yeah. They're doing bullpen sessions, live bullpen sessions. They're doing simulated games. And all of that is obviously really with an eye towards a guy like Chris Sale, who has seen his ERA go up in September throughout his career in October, and they want him healthy at the end of the year. So I think they're going to really take it easy ramping these guys up. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
TC, we'll get you out of here on this real quick. If they're all healthy, which I know is a tough caveat to have, but if they're all healthy, how many games in the outfield does Martinez play this year? I've got it at under 40.
That's a great question. I mean, because let's say, Mookie's playing all the time. Jackie is the interesting guy because we've seen Jackie Bradley Jr. go in his slump,
yep,
as well as his red-hot streak. Can you maybe mitigate those by sitting him down a little more often? When you see him start to go cold, sit him down for a couple of games. That might be where Martinez gets a few games, but you certainly want Benintendi playing 140 games, right? And if you've got Bradley playing 140 games, there's your 40 games. So I'll take the over on 40 just because that's 42. Ooh. By the math I just did.
Okay. So, all right.
I think 40 to 50 is where it's going to be if everybody's healthy. And then the rest of the games at DH. And I have no idea if that's enough to keep him happy. He hasn't said that. He's not going to say that. We'll see how it plays out. But I'd be surprised if you see him play more than 50 games, that's for sure.
Well, you got 8 minutes left before the early bird special ends down there. So,
at the Golden Corral.
Yeah, before it ends. Yeah, thank you. Before it ends. It's officially, listen, this is my third week here. I got my tan. I got my games. I'm good with the early bird specials. And next week I'll be back north when I talk to you.
All right.
Get cold with the rest of you.
It was not that bad. It's like 50 degrees. But, TC, we always enjoy it, buddy. Have fun down there. We'll see you when you get back.
Hey, just remember, Saturday, Red Sox, Yankees, huge showdown here in Fort Myers, Florida. Judge, Stanton, Sanchez, you probably won't see any of them.
No, right. Russell Wilson.
you got a better chance of seeing Bernie Williams play in that one than you watching Stanton.
I love it. All right, DZ, we'll speak to you next week, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. Tom Karen, everybody joining us from Florida.
Living the dream.
I love it. That's great down there. We'll come back. I'll wrap up the hour. Gone but not forgotten next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
It's Tuesday, which means it's time for Gone but Not Forgotten. Brought to you by Elmwood Meunier Funeral and Cremation Center in Burlington.
Right, time for Gone but Not Forgotten. Thanks to our friends over at Elmwood Meunier. I'll start things off because I got three good ones. It was a good death anniversary day. I don't know if you know that.
Great.
Oh, no, a very good one.
A lot of important people died on this day?
Yeah, let's go back to 1892. Uh-huh. I did not know this. I did not know this because, you know, when I think about the person I'm going to tell you about, you're like, what? He went all the way back then. Louis Vuitton passed away in 1892.
Who? Was he French?
You know, the Louis Vuitton purses and stuff like that?
Oh, yeah. I carry them around with me all the time.
You guys don't know who Louis Vuitton
is? I know who Louis Vuitton is.
Yeah. Louis Vuitton?
Yeah, it's like to this day, it's like the
high-end
fashion.
Accessories.
Oh, yeah, for yeah. women.
How would I not know that?
High-end Louis accessory. Vuitton. What is wrong
Have
with
you heard of Chanel?
Yeah.
No.
Have you heard?
She does the Afternoons at Star.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's right. No, the Louis Vuitton is like.
Vera Bradley?
No, I don't know who that is.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, I guess this is what you get when you have a girlfriend you actually treat to things.
Wow. No, hard to believe. I wouldn't be informed about high-end fashion.
You have a daughter, Rich.
Am I to think that maybe I assumed everybody knew Louis Vuitton? Maybe I'm wrong. 802-655-6672 on the Town Fair Tire text line. I don't know. Maybe I just assumed everybody knew the Louis. Anyway, he's high-end fashion. He died 1892.
That's too
70
bad.
Years old. Mr. Rogers.
Okay. Wait a minute. This was last week.
No, that was something else last
week.
Oh,
that was
today.
The 50th anniversary of his first show.
So can you believe he died right after the 50th anniversary of his first show then?
Okay.
Yeah, because he died on this day in 2003 at the age of 74. Was he still doing the show?
I have no idea.
Or was it canceled by then?
I don't know Mr. Rogers' timeline.
Wow. Don't make fun of Mr. Rogers.
I'm not.
Don't you dare. And one of the big names, I guess kind of, he only did one acting thing in his life.
Right. What, Leonard Spanier?
Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, yes. Actually, he was on a few things, but I can't remember what they were.
Yeah, he was on a few things, except maybe
Just
Star
don't ask
Trek.
Me what they were.
Died 83 years old in 2015. The rumor is, I don't know if this is a rumor, if maybe it is true, that, what's his face? Captain Kirk. What's his name?
William Shatner.
William Shatner did not speak to him for many, many years, even up to his death. So I don't know if it was a feud or I don't think he disputed that. And I actually apologized later on. I don't know if he went to his funeral or not, but there was some type of rift between him and William Shatner.
I always felt bad for guys like Leonard Nimoy because they couldn't because they couldn't live their life. They couldn't even leave their house. Hey, there's that guy. Give me a Vulcan death grip. Hey, how come your ears look right?
You could tell me to give you a Vulcan death grip till I'm sick of hearing it if I'm giving the paycheck.
Well,
unbelievable. All right, go ahead, Rich. Who do you
have? No, go ahead with Vera Bradley. I want to hear more.
Well, someone called in and goes, Brady, it's Vera Wang, not Vera Bradley.
There you go.
No.
Vera Wang.
Vera Wang is a thing, but Vera Bradley is a company also. It's a American luggage and handbag design company founded by Barbara Bradley and Patricia Miller.
Rich, that's Brian Richmond said that's why you're divorced twice.
Wait a minute.
And someone said Rich lives under a rock, so there you
twice?
Go.
Twice? Well,
he said that's why you're divorced, Rich.
Oh, I thought it said divorce twice.
Oh, I was going to say, I must have missed something. Did I really drink that much 20 years ago?
Well, I just took it as fact that. Brady, you got a couple or what?
Real quick, gone but not forgotten. College basketball rules as we know them.
Yes.
In the NIT, there's going to be 4 rule modifications this year. The 3-point line is going to go back nearly 2 feet.
Wow.
That's happening in the
I don't like that.
In the NIT. The free throw lane is going to be widened by 4 feet.
International rules.
Making it the same as the NBA.
What do they call it? ACTA something or other. Go ahead.
Okay. No, it's going to look the same as the NBA.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like bigger and like that. Okay.
It's going to look the same as the NBA, right, Arnie. The games will be divided into 4 10-minute quarters instead of 2 20-minute halves. Yeah. And the shot clock will reset to 20 seconds after an offensive rebound instead of 30.
Oh, I like that.
Wow.
I like that a lot.
So 4-10s, that's like women's college basketball.
Yeah.
4-10s is the women are already doing.
I
right.
like
we,
that.
We need to break.
Nice. All right, we need to break. You've talked way too long. Brady's going to have a Sports Center update. Then we'll come back. Reset hour 2 right here, 101.3 ESPN.
Everyone is listening to The Huddle. It's almost like we've got a quarter of a billion listeners per month. This is The Huddle with Rich Hardy and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
What a new cool graphic that was.
Wow, taking a shot at me at my quarter of a billion listeners per month?
No, it's more of a compliment to us.
Wow.
Wow.
I suppose officially we could have a quarter of a billion, right?
We could, when you factor in the streaming of the show. And the app usage.
I don't even know where to start because my wife has sent us 100 texts that make no sense.
There's something
different. I'm just going to skip over all that.
Well, anything interesting from her today? Is she having a good day?
I don't know. Glenn in Moncton said Leonard Nimoy was also on a show called In Search Of, a show about the unexplained mysteries. But that's not being an actor.
No, but it's being something other than Spock.
No, that's the only reason he got the job is because he was Spock.
True, but
I mean, come on now. If he was on the Big Bang Theory or something, they wouldn't have taken him.
Leonard Nimoy's a huge part of the Big Bang Theory because Sheldon's such a huge fan of Star Wars, Star Trek. He at one point wanted to grow his own Leonard Nimoy because he had a DNA swab from him.
Was Leonard Nimoy ever on the show? No?
Ooh, was Leonard Nimoy? No.
No.
No. Right, but Bob Newhart was.
Get out of here.
Oh, yeah. He played the lovable Professor Proton. Sheldon's inspiration for science.
You think Leonard Nimoy would have been better for something than
that? It's one of the more iconic scenes of Big Bang Theory history. Penny, Kaley Cuoco, Penny gives him an autographed napkin from Leonard Nimoy, and he goes, "Do you know what this means? I can grow my own Leonard Nimoy." And then Penny goes, "I'm only giving you the napkin."
Why
Sheldon.
Did I think that was William Shatner's daughter? Is that William Shatner? That's not
no.
William. Are you sure that's not William Shatner's daughter in real life? No, I'm wrong.
Kaley Cuoco is not William Shatner's daughter.
I just thought that way. You don't know what the hell we're talking about.
I've never seen Star Trek in my life.
What?
Nope. She was on the show with John Ritter when he died. The eight simple rules for dating my teenage daughter.
I was a big fan of his, by the way. Yes. Big fan of his. I was crushed when he died. He died at a young age, 55, 60 years old, something like that. He was under 60.
He died young. He died young.
He was in his early 50s.
That was a good show, too.
That was awesome. That was a great show. They canceled it right after that, right?
No, they continued
on. Oh, they used somebody else for a little bit, but it really didn't.
No, it wasn't the dad. The grandpa came to live with
them. Yes, that's what it was. Anyway, so lots going on this hour. Town Fair Tire, text line 802-655-6672. Brady, you're hosting Trivia Night tomorrow at the City Sports Grill, right?
Trivia Night tomorrow, City Sports Grill, 7:30 to 9:30. We've got half price burgers, as always, and tons of swag.
And did you know the champions were dethroned last week?
I'm excited. I've made the questions. Actually, they were dumbed down this week. Your wife made them really easy.
Oh, yeah. She was getting a lot of grief about that, so she had to dumb it down.
Dumb it down when? Last week?
This week.
Okay, because our first question last week, which of course nobody got, was what is the percentage of Americans who drink Anheuser-Busch products? Like, anyone would ever know the
18%?
Exact...
18%?
No, it's 51.
Wow!
Ooh. I would have to think... That has to be people 21 and over.
I mean, who would know that?
I was going to do this as a trivia question. Russia didn't even consider this a alcohol. They considered this a soft drink until the year 2012.
Vodka?
No, that's a good guess. It was beer. Beer was the answer there.
You mean it isn't?
Real quick, by the way, before we get anything, I want to take a shot at Dan Patrick's show. Did you see what they're doing now?
Are they doing big deal, little deal, no deal?
They're doing wow. They're doing the wow. They all do wow.
Did you see that a group of people in Australia gathered together today to all do Owen Wilson, the guy from Wedding Crashers? He's got an iconic wow, and they all did it.
Maybe he's stealing it from me, but that was before I did it. So maybe I'm stealing it from him. I don't know.
Tommy in Jeffersonville has a good point. Kaley Cuoco was the daughter of Shatner on the Priceline commercials.
Oh, so that's where I got
it. So not in real life.
Well, why would you have to play the daughter on the Priceline commercial?
I don't know.
Wouldn't you just say, hey, I'm a celebrity, and we're just doing a commercial because we wanted the money or something like that. All right, what's the story about your wallet? What's going on there?
Oh, I'm trying to become a minimalist.
What the hell does that mean?
Welcome to my world.
We called you. That's what we've been calling you, right? A millennial?
No, a minimalist.
Oh, minimalist. I'm sorry.
It's it's when you downsize your life. You know, you get rid of clothes. You move into a smaller apartment. You know, you have a tiny house somewhere. See, I can't do that stuff.
Oh, it's heaven.
I'm way too young. I still need to acquire things. Yeah. Like my bobblehead collection and hat collections need to continue to grow.
What, are you retiring or something?
But no, I'm trying to downsize my wallet. Instead of the thick leather wallet, I'm moving to the sleek aluminum wallet.
Oh, I don't like those.
Aluminum wallet?
Yeah, it's basically like kind of like the size of a cell phone case.
Like a card holder or something like that.
Yeah, it's like
right?
a card holder. Okay. So I'm going for that. And what that reminded me of is, Arnie, you will know this. Rich, you probably won't, but all of our listeners will. Do you remember the Seinfeld where George had the giant wallet?
Yes.
And it actually exploded at how big it was? That is what I'm thinking of.
Better without this big wallet. It's more comfortable.
It doesn't matter if it's more comfortable. It's wrong.
Why?
Because important things go in a case. You got a skull for your brain, a plastic sleeve for your comb, and a wallet for your money.
Look at this thing. It's huge. You got more cow here than here.
I need everything in there.
Irish money?
I might go there.
show this card at any participating Orlando area Exxon station to get your free Save the Tiger poster.
I was looking to see what's in my wallet, Rich. I don't even know if I need to. I have a USAA card, but I don't even know if I'm a member anymore.
Yeah.
Do I really need my Dick scorecard rewards member thing?
You could use the key.
Yeah, I have one on my keychain. Also, I have my Best Buy card, my reward zone. So I have my UCLA rec card, which is really my brother's card.
Yeah.
So when I go to Los Angeles, I get to play at UCLA for free instead of having to pay. But because we really don't look alike, do we? My brother and I? He's 6 years younger.
Well, first of all, he has hair.
Yeah, he's got hair and I'm bald. So that's kind of a giveaway on that.
Wow.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking guy. How'd that happen?
The free Save the Tiger poster. That's what I love.
I got my Blue Cross Blue Shield, but then again, I don't know if we remember. I've got 1,000 of my wife's business cards. I got a couple of Subway cards. I think these are gift certificates.
Probably from
gift
one
cards.
Of us.
I think these are still good. I'm going to have to check it out. And I got my Costco card, so I need everything in here.
I don't understand people with wallets. How can you sit, and I see people do this, how can you have a wallet in your back pocket?
Yeah, you can't
and
do that.
Sit?
Yeah,
that's ridiculous. Uncomfortable? I don't even have a wallet.
It throws your back out of alignment.
Yeah,
it really is bad for your spine, actually.
It doesn't look comfortable. I mean, I have a debit card. That's all I own.
You have a driver's license?
Well, a driver's license. It's in my wallet that I never leaves the house.
So you never drive with your license?
No, and I probably should.
And you're telling this to all of our big police?
You drive without your driver's license.
It's a blue Mazda 3.
Why would you drive without your driver's license? Why would you
do that? Because they can look it up, can't they?
Oh, yeah, you're right. You don't need it. What am I talking about? Silly me. What the hell am I
talking about? Are you Arnie Spanier? Oh, double the fine.
Just be like the Seattle Seahawk guy. What's his name? Just look me up. Look me up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The one that lied.
Well,
all
good
right.
For you, so you're minimizing your life.
Early. I'm not minimizing my life. I'm trying to minimize my wallet. I'm acquiring possessions and just trying to make my jeans more comfortable. That's all I'm doing.
I am moving into a one-bedroom condo that's about 500 square feet by the end of 2018, and I can't wait.
All right. We got to get to the four-minute football fix, and I got a story I want to get to do. So hit the four-minute football minute fix.
I miss football.
Did I say that right? Did that even make sense? Did I just mumble?
So let's talk some football. Training camp may be a ways away, but we'll help you through the wait. This is your four-minute football fix on the Huddle 101.3 ESPN.
Music coming momentarily. Go ahead. Start talking. Four-minute football
fix. I can't really talk to the music.
You talked through the whole intro. You can certainly talk out of it.
Yeah, but I would like to have the music before I start
talking.
Okay,
fine.
There you go. I want to do the – can I do the first story? Because it's been way past time that we got to it.
Okay.
2014. Can I go back to 2014?
Great year.
Yeah.
I guess.
It's official now. It wasn't official since 2014. The Dez Bryant catch was now a catch. No, I'm serious.
No, I heard that.
The committee says Dez Bryant's 2014 playoff play should have been a catch.
Not to mention the Jesse James catch.
4 years later, Dez Bryant has got his catch. They didn't win the game, though. No. They can't overturn that, but congratulations to Dez Bryant on that.
I mean, and I heard a little bit of that this morning, too, talking about the Jesse James thing should have counted, too, which would have completely changed the whole Patriots postseason situation.
It would have changed the whole Patriots season and their seeding. Look, as far as the four-minute football fix goes, the league is going to allow teams to hire coaches during the playoffs. The Josh McDaniels situation has spurned on this change. Teams will be allowed to finalize coaching hires and not have to wait until teams are eliminated or their season is over.
Really? Is that a good idea?
I think
that's a huge distraction, isn't it?
It's not a huge distraction to go and interview and be thinking about taking the job.
Nope. But I mean, it just seemed like a distraction to me because both Patricia and McDaniels were supposedly had one foot out the door. And I, as a Patriots fan during the Super Bowl buildup, didn't like that. It seemed like a distraction.
It is not great for the team that's going to be losing the coaches. But we're already doing this where coaches are thinking about jobs or traveling for interviews or have people coming in for interviews. When you know, let them finalize it and then keep them on staff and let them go through. That's the one thing you have to figure out. You keep them on staff after they sign the paperwork, but then how do you keep them focused on the job at hand? Look, it can be done. In college, it's done at times. Scott Frost won a bowl game at Central Florida and then left for Nebraska. He kept the Central Florida job through the season before moving to Nebraska. You might have to work harder, but I think what happened with McDaniels is inexcusable. So if this gets you out of that happening again, then I'm for it.
You know, the one rule that they didn't change that they should have, that horrific rule that you have to get permission to talk to other teams. Who was it on the Green Bay Packers that was going to be up for the GM job? His father was the GM. Was it Wolf? Is that who it was? It was his son? Was it his son that was up for the job? And they said, you can't talk to anybody else about another position. So two other teams wanted to talk to him. They twice said, no, you can't, no, you can't. And then he didn't get the GM job.
Right, and you can't...
That's not right.
Teams can block you if you're under contract until the season ends. The Patriots didn't let Nick Caserio interview with the Texans.
Well, I think they should be able
to... And I disagree with that, too.
I think they should be able to block you from taking the job, but you should never be blocked from talking to somebody. It is a free country. You should be able to talk to whoever the hell you want to talk to. You know?
Alex at Moncton brings up a good point, too, and I've said this also. They shouldn't let coaches interview anywhere around the league until the season is over. That's fine, too, if they would have done that. I would have been fine with that also. That obviously, with off-season activities, puts you way behind the eight ball. If you play in the Super Bowl and you're going to lose coaches, then you don't have your staff finalized until March, April. That would be tough, but I'm in favor of anything that gets you out of what happened with McDaniels.
Well, I didn't like what happened to him, too. There was a story about that. I think I read it in Pro Football Talk, so I didn't do justice explaining to it, but it was just horrible. What's going on with the pass interference situation?
Another thing, the pass interference rule could be changed. The league is looking at putting it to a 15-yard penalty rather than a spot foul. We've had this debate before, too. Look, I hate that a lot of teams' best offenses, including my own Seahawks offense, is
throw it up,
throw it deep and hope for a flag. And, you know, all of a sudden you're bailed out by a 39-yard ticky-tack pass interference call, and that leads to points. I hate that, but Arnie, you made the point last year when we first talked about it. So what, I'm just going to mug you down the field knowing it's only 15 yards? This is a tough one. I'm interested to see what they actually do with it.
Anything that stops them from, like you said, just chucking it up into the end zone. I swear half the time there's a flag on those plays. The jump ball situations, there's always a flag. And, I mean, I understand what Arnie's point was, but I think it's a step in the right direction.
I'm more in the favor, I guess, of let's call less pass interference and more illegal contact. Illegal contact is a 5-yard penalty at the moment. Maybe it can become a 15-yard penalty, and we can utilize illegal contact more than pass interference. And pass interference can be for, quote, egregious situations. I know that can get tricky. We're trying to take judgment calls away from the referees, and that could be giving them. I don't know the right answer to this one, but I know that there's too many pass interference calls and too many teams relying on pass interference penalties to be a primary jump starter of their offense.
How many times did you see a team down in a game and it's 3rd and 24, just chucking it up there? It's getting a jump ball situation. That's our only chance of a first down, and it worked half the time.
Well, Brady has from Pro Football Reference, pass interference was called 266 times in 2017. Here's the problem. If you move it to 15 yards, you got it 266 times. You could have it 300, 400 times now, because I think referees are kind of afraid to call it because it's such a bad penalty. They're like, I can't give you a first and goal on the 1-yard line.
It's a game-altering decision.
But if you're going to tell me if somebody chucks it up from the 50 and it's only going to be a 15-yard penalty, I'm more prone to give it to you. Maybe not 400, but maybe it's going to add another 100 with all the games around there. I could see that being a problem, that the referees are like, oh, well, I'll give it to you, but the problem is it's automatic first down. That's still the killer there.
Yeah, I just think, and I liked when there were degrees of penalties. They took away, remember it used to be a 5-yard face mask and a 15-yard face mask? They took that away because they wanted to take the question away from the refs. And I understand that these refs have a hard job. You're making it harder when you say, okay, well, did he hold on for 1 second or 2 seconds?
Right,
well,
and that's a hard call without replay.
And that is a hard call without replay. I think initially I'd be in favor of more illegal contact penalties, and maybe illegal contact becomes a 10-yard penalty instead of a 5-yard penalty, so it still deters the hand fighting and the contact down the field. But I know I want less 40-yard PI calls.
Yeah, I'm all for trying it. I'm kind of on Arnie's side of this. Let's try it. Give it 1 year. But there's nothing worse than adding 100 penalties to the season. So try it and see what happens.
Real quick, breaking, last thing in the 4-minute football fix, literally breaking, Papa John's and the NFL done as partners.
Yeah. Wow, what's Peyton Manning going to do now?
Bye-bye, Papa.
Greg Wyshynski is going to stop on by, NHL expert at ESPN. We'll talk to him next at 101.3 ESPN.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Busy, busy afternoon, guys. Right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, NHL expert at ESPN. It's Greg Wyshynski. How you doing, Greg?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing great. Good. First, Bruins make a big trade. I liked it. You loved it. You gave it an A-minus with the Bruins overall. Go over the trade. Tell me why you liked it so much.
Yeah, you know, it's, you know, when we do these report cards and the one for all 31 teams on ESPN right now, you got to take into account not only the players and the assets that the teams are acquiring, but also what they gave up to get them. And quite frankly, you know, Ryan Spooner has been a guy that's been mentioned as being potentially in a trade for a couple of years now for the Bruins. They did not give up a prime young player like a Jake DeBrusk to get Rick Nash. And then in getting Nash, you know, I think this is a pretty shrewd move. This is a big-bodied forward that fits well with David Krejci. We know from his time with Milan Lucic, he meshes well with a player like that. Nash obviously needed a refresh. He's not going to stick around for the Rangers rebuild. And I think it was a pretty smart acquisition on behalf of Don Sweeney.
And good timing after we get the news about Patrice Bergeron. I mean, other than Tuukka Rask, I'd say that's about the worst guy to lose for a couple of weeks. But do you feel like with that 20-point lead they have over Florida in third place in the division and the way they've been playing for the most part the last couple of months, they can weather this storm?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, they're going to be either be in the 2-seed or the 3-seed in the Atlantic Division. I think thoughts of catching Tampa Bay go out the window and Patrice Bergeron goes out of your lineup. You know, shutting him down for 2 weeks, seeing where they are with him, it's really the only thing that they can do. He is far too valuable. You know, hopefully this doesn't extend past 2 weeks. If it does, maybe just a little bit longer to make sure he's totally healed up. It's a long game now for the Bruins. This is a team that, quite frankly, can challenge for a Stanley Cup if they are healthy and playing well. And I think that it's imperative that Bergeron is healthy and playing well heading into what should be a playoff war against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Greg, I am not the biggest NHL guy, but I'm a big Olympics guy, so it was fun for me to see Brian Gionta, captain of Team USA, sign with the Bruins. Can he offer them anything, or is he just there for that late-season leadership role and he wants a ring?
Well, they added both him and Tommy Wingles. Both those guys are right wings. Both those guys could fit in on the fourth line as depth players. You know, to be honest with you, this Gionta thing was probably in the works for a pretty long time. If it's based on his play at the Olympics, I don't know how he gets a contract, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Like he threw the puck on goal a bunch, but he didn't really do much of anything in the Olympics to really stand out. But that said, I mean, there's no, you know, getting around the fact that this guy is a veteran leader, a former captain in Montreal, you know, a guy that clearly has a myriad of playoff experience in his career and obviously a good guy to have on the roster for a team that's pointed in that direction.
Hey, let's go out to Vegas. Tell me, first of all, is it good for the NHL that Vegas is so good? I mean, wouldn't it have been just okay if they were like middle of the pack? Is this a great story? Is the NHL happy about this, or are they a little nervous that Vegas may win the Stanley Cup?
No, they're thrilled with it. I mean, they're thrilled with it in the sense that, you know, the plan was based on how they structured the expansion draft was to give Vegas a strong team in its first year. I don't think they anticipated it to be this strong necessarily.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody did. But the idea was, look, we're in an emerging market. It's not necessarily a traditional hockey market. We want to make as big an impact as we can. And you've got an entire now generation of Vegas fans being born right now watching this team. So I think they're cool with it. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens in the postseason, though. I've written a lot about Vegas. I went out there. I wrote a big feature for ESPN on the, you know, whether or not the Vegas flu exists and that kind of thing. And one of the reasons why I think this team has been so good, beyond the fact that teams are tipping them back until 4 a.m. in Vegas in rooms that don't have any windows, is because they don't have any pressure on them. You know, these are all a bunch of guys from different teams that have chips on their shoulders trying to prove that their former teams made mistakes in getting rid of them. And then for the entire season, no one's looking at this team and saying, well, you've got to win a cup this year. There's no expectation. And I do wonder when that changes. You know, if they win a playoff round and all of a sudden, you know, they're a couple series wins away from winning a cup, does the mindset, does the psychology of this thing dramatically change for the players that have been on this team and frankly have been able to just play with reckless abandon through the season?
I feel bad for you that you have to go to Vegas all the time and write about them. That must be horrible.
I mean, I'm going to go to Vegas all the time anyway, but you know, now I got to work. But no, it's if for those of you who haven't gotten a chance to really see one of these games yet, I mean, like, part of the gig in making this franchise happen is to have, you know, folks in Boston and folks in New England come out there and watch the Bruins in a game in Vegas and make a weekend out of it or make a week out of it. And, you know, the experience that they give you at those games is really remarkable. They really have done an amazing job kind of capturing the Vegas spirit of entertainment to the point where, you know, guys like Steven Stamkos have come away from playing in Vegas and saying that's as close to a playoff atmosphere as you're ever going to get in the regular season. I mean, they've done a really good job down there.
And then there's the opposite. I'm going to Phoenix next week for spring training. I just got a Coyotes ticket for $6.
Well,
swear to you, $6.
That's the flip side of things. They're in a bad way down there right now. They you know, obviously want to get out of that Glendale arena. We all watched the drama that unfolded in the last decade, the, you know, city council meetings and all that stuff to see what's going to happen to the team. But they don't have any prospects right now as far as building a new place. And, you know, the Seattle's going to get an expansion team, obviously. But Quebec City has been sort of that backdoor option of maybe being a relocation spot. But the other one that's really interesting, if they ever had to move Arizona, is Houston. That's the one that bears watching, because I don't think the NHL wants to move a Western team east, but they would certainly move a Western team to a Houston market that's got a really rich guy that owns the Rockets. And the arena, and has made it clear that he wouldn't mind owning an NHL team, too.
Speaking of teams that are struggling but have a much, much richer historical fan base, what in the world do you do about the Montreal Canadiens?
Yeah.
I saw your article talking about year 7 of Mark Bergevin's 5-year plan begins at the draft. I mean, is he and Claude Julien, to a point, are they out the door? What's going on? And you know how important winning is up there.
Yeah, Claude, I can't imagine. I mean, there's such a finite number of coaches that you could hire that fit the parameters of, you know, not only being a coach that they think can win games for them, but also fit the language requirement that comes with that position of being a bilingual guy. In the case of Mark Bergevin, I mean, he's gotten votes of confidence from the owner. Like I said, it's been quite a long time for him up there and trying to build a winner, but apparently he's still the guy. Apparently he's going to be the one shepherding some of these big trades, whether it's trading away their captain, Max Pacioretty, or trading away a promising young player like Alex Galchenyuk, or using this treasure chest of draft picks that they're going to have at the draft this summer. I don't trust them to do any of this stuff. I think it's bad for the organization. But the one thing to keep in mind, and this is something that we talked about on our ESPN on Ice podcast with regard to what the summer might look like, John Tavares, New York Islanders superstar, free agent, his agent, best friends, like life buddies with Mark Bergevin. So I think the Canadiens are going to get a crack at him. I don't know if they get him to come there, but I think they're going to get a crack at him, and I think that's one of the reasons why they're keeping Bergevin in that spot. In the off chance they get Tavares to join Carey Price and Shea Weber as the veteran core of that team.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN NHL expert, with us here on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. I mentioned the Olympics, and we're getting questions about this. Ryan Donato was the one piece of Team USA that looked really, really good. What do you think he's going to do? What's his timeline to get to the Bruins? And if he is up here this year, can he help them in any way in the playoffs, or is he an AHL stash only?
No, I think he's an energy guy. He's a young guy. He provides a lot of spark. He obviously played amazingly in the Olympics. So I think that, you know, if nothing else, you could expect to get maybe a boost from him. I think he's now come off an international tournament with some pressure. I'd like to see him in that role with the Bees.
How did you like the? Did you watch a lot of it this year, or what?
Not a lot of it. It was on at weird times, and it wasn't exactly the best hockey. But that German run we had was kind of fun, knocking out the Canadiens and knocking off the Russians. So that was kind of fun.
Greg, you buying into the Flyers? I mean, geez, when was the last time they lost a game? And look what they did up in Montreal last night.
I like that Schultz guy, but go ahead.
Yeah, they're a little bit ahead of schedule, to be honest with you. I mean, their goaltending situation is a mess right now with the injuries they have, and they had to go out and get Peter Mrazek from the Red Wings. But overall, I think, you know, they're a dangerous team. They're a team that's got a lot of good young players meshing with some veteran guys that have been there for a while, like Claude Giroux and them. So I'm looking for them to be a contender, you know, this season if they in fact make the playoffs.
Greg, we'll get you out of here on this. Before you got to ESPN, you were at Yahoo. You pretty much started their really good NHL coverage. You had the popular Puck Daddies podcast. Take us back to earlier in your career. Kind of what was it like developing your foothold and covering the sport?
Oh, Greg.
Looks like we lost him.
Your battery didn't want it.
He didn't want to answer that stupid question. No, I'm just kidding.
Yep, looks like we lost him.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, it was a stupid question. Anyway.
Maybe it was.
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I was anxious to hear that.
Anyways.
I could talk to that guy for hours.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you really aggravate me now because, you know, my last question was, I'll call you in 4 years with my kids out of college. Yeah. Now you ruined that for me. No, but now my kid's going to be working at fast food for the rest of his life.
It is interesting.
Maybe he hung up on me because I asked about his former employer. I don't know.
Personal question. Beep. But I was interested in what he had to say about the Flyers and the Canadiens. You wonder how long Mark Bergevin's going to.
I want to know if John Tavares is going to go to Montreal now.
Boy, if he goes there, that'll help. But they're a long way off.
I got a Tavares signed jersey framed at my house. It was actually nice. For my kid. Well, because it was a Christmas present from my brother-in-law that doesn't talk to me anymore. So he used to give really nice Christmas presents to my son just to make me feel bad. And I give nothing to his kid. So
it's pretty bad when people are doing things just to make you feel
totally
bad.
Oh, yeah, totally like that. So,
I know, I wasn't trying to be nice. I'm just trying to make Arnie feel bad.
Game-used jersey framed. Hey, have this. You know, giving us all kinds of stuff. Absolutely crazy on that. So little hockey. That's two hockey time. What the heck is going on here?
It's taking over the show, baby.
What are you doing?
NHL FM.
Brady, I don't want you to stay too old. You've been working way too hard. I'm going to cut a Champlain Valley game 9.5 today. So we'll just go 6 to 6:30. And then what do we got, the pregame? We'll have to start that a little earlier or what?
We'll do the pregame at 6:30. Are you going to stick around and make sure the game stays on the air? Because you're letting me off early, but I still have to stay here till 9:30.
You know what? I will make sure the game's on the air. I'll make sure that it's on
the
air.
He's going to turn it on the radio.
Who's going to do it?
I just make sure it's on the air. I'll monitor it from the car.
From his living room chair.
As I'm heading out home, 6:30, the pregame.
In
Vermont,
his underwear.
On the road at Maine. By the way, what? I don't even know where Maine is in the standings.
They are second to last.
Second to last ahead of Binghamton.
Oh, so that's a win. Anthony Lamb making his comeback. I'm looking at 10 points and one rebound. So
it's entirely possible.
I don't think he's going to worry about rebounding. I think he just wants to score and show everybody that he's back.
Don't get hurt.
I think he'll go for 6 points and 4 boards.
You don't expect a lot of playing time from him.
I predict he'll play 8 minutes.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I'll go 5 to 10, which I guess is the same thing.
No, you got to go. No. You have one game. Unfortunately, he doesn't have a lot of time to get ready for the conference.
But the first game is against Maine at home. I know that. You'll beat him by 40 points.
He'll be in shape. He's not going to be as out of shape as you think he is. You've got to give him at least 20 minutes. I expect him about 15 to 20 minutes. And I'm not worried about him hurting his foot again. Don't worry about that. That's easy for you to say.
George in Fairfax goes, more hockey talk, less NBA. Have we talked one bit of the NBA today?
No, we haven't. We haven't done any
NBA. This is a tough crowd, man. Tough crowd.
We have not talked one sentence of the NBA.
Now, if you'd have said more hockey, less baseball, I would have totally agreed with that.
Oh, stop.
I wouldn't have said
anything.
What's
wrong with you?
Jake and Milton said more NHL talk, guys. Thanks.
Yep.
I guess we have two people that do like the NHL.
Well, we are in the Champlain Valley. I mean, hockey matters here a lot. I've been trying to tell you this since the moment you arrived.
I just won't listen, I guess.
No, figure.
Figure that out. Oh, my goodness. I can't understand. Hey, two hockey segments. What more do you want? I mean.
No, that's good. We're getting there.
We're getting there.
Eventually just having it take over the whole show.
Yeah, you want to talk about the waiver claims of the Florida Panthers on a Tuesday.
Yes, I do. I'd rather talk about that than the Patriots because I'm still mad.
You know, I don't know if I'm reading George's in Fairfax correctly. He says on ESPN, I'm wondering, because we carry, obviously, the Celtics and the Bruins. Can we carry, like, any NHL? Do we carry the Stanley Cup? I don't remember if we carried that last year or not.
We can have the Stanley Cup, yes.
Okay, so we could just carry the Stanley Cup. That's awesome.
George isn't mad at us about the basketball talk. He's mad at the network.
Oh, I see.
Because Stephen A. Smith does talk a lot of basketball. Talks a lot of NBA, and so do the morning guys. That's
NBA
fine.
Doesn't start until the second round of the playoffs. I don't know if you know that. That's when it gets going. Yeah. You might as well say for that.
I couldn't agree more. Yep. Although, did you watch any of that Celtics game? I almost went on the air yesterday, and you said you watch this. They're going to be down by 10 at the half because they always stink against teams like Memphis. They were ahead by about 30 at the break.
How
awful is Memphis?
Ugh. Miserable. Matter of fact, it was that coach they fired. What's his name?
Fizdale.
Yeah, Fizdale, because they were rumoring him as the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yes.
Because Fizdale is actually, LeBron James loves that guy.
Take that for data.
Yeah, and he loves that guy, and – even came out on his behalf when he was fired. So I'm trying to put two and two together on that situation.
I feel so bad for Marc Gasol. I was watching him last night, and it's just that team is awful.
O&R, more hockey talk playoffs coming soon.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than NHL hockey playoffs.
I couldn't agree more. Sudden death. No shootouts there.
That's fantastic. All right, Brady.
John in St. Albans says that's enough NHL talk for the rest of the year.
What? A guy from St. Albans said that?
Wow.
The hockey capital of the North Country?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. There's only so much hockey you could talk until the playoffs get going. Brady, what is coming up on Champlain Valley Game?
I'm going to stand on my high horse and tell you how you know that your college basketball program has not become a grown-up yet. Because
right.
I'm very angry about something.
But coming up next, a little spring training update, our daily spring training update. We'll do it next at 101.3 ESPN.
Men auditioning for scouts in questionable clothing choices. The NFL Combine is here. The Underwear Olympics. We take you there when Lewis Riddick joins us. Plus, I predict the starting quarterback for every NFL team. Wednesday, Golic and Wingo. 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
It's Tuesday, and I'm thinking about doing what I did on Monday, and that's go to RJ's. It was Taco Monday last night. I had 49-cent wings, and I had two tacos, and it was all delicious.
Yeah, I had 49-cent wings also. I didn't know they were a special on Monday.
You know that they're free on Thursday between 9:30 and 11.
No, I didn't know that. So
if you get the traditional mild.
And I ate so much, and then they brought me the wrong...
They brung you?
Yeah, they brought me the wrong appetizer. They said, just have these for free, and I ate them too.
You're not supposed to tell people that the service wasn't correct.
No, but does it make a difference? Because she said, here, have them for free.
That's awesome. How many other places will tell you that?
Well, what are they going to do, take it away and throw it away?
No, but you just don't always see that. They bring them back to the kitchen, then they make you wait for 20 minutes until you get the right food.
I'm like, where's Jay? Where the hell is Jay? He's on a cruise this week. It's like every time I go in there, this guy's on vacation, on a cruise. He's never there on a Thursday, never there. I go, is this guy working? Does he work? Guess what? I own RJ's now. Jay's not here. He can't kick me out.
If Jay ever paid himself
for every hour. I'm squatting to take over the restaurant.
If he paid himself for every hour he worked in that place in the year, he would be a multi-billionaire.
No, if he paid himself by the hour, he's never there. He's never there to work.
That is ridiculous. I've never seen a guy.
You're supposed to be talking about how great RJ's is.
It is great. The food's awesome, but Jay's never there. I like to watch the games with Jay, for crying out loud. That's RJ's. Go check it out.
The Red Sox and Yankees have World Series dreams. But before they can head north, they're working on the backfields in the Florida heat. This is your daily spring training update on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Greg on the Town Fair Tire text line said that was the dumbest question I ever heard. That's why I hung up. Greg, that's my bad.
We're trying to decide if there was a click there. Brady's nervous now.
No, I don't think he hung up. But that's okay. Since we only talk hockey for like 2 months out of the year. Well, if he doesn't like me, I guess.
Probably 20 minutes of the year.
We'll just have to get Barry Melrose on again.
No, but how great is this? We go from hockey to spring training and Neil Young playing in between.
Give us a little spring training report, Brady. What's going on? By the way, Richard Milbury says the WOW drinking game has hit a snag. 30-plus WOWs equal a hospital visit. We need a sponsor.
How about every time we say WOW? That's your daily WOW.
I haven't said it 30 times this time.
What about that? What if we had a segment just called WOW?
WOW. WOW or no WOW?
and have it sponsored by a local hospital.
WOW or no WOW? Would they get that?
Or a bar.
It doesn't have to be WOW or no WOW. Yeah. It's just like things that made us go WOW.
Things that made us go wow. Isn't that a song?
I don't know, but that sounds like a good segment.
I'll do anything. I don't care.
I like the wow drinking game. It's simple.
Yeah, but I didn't say it 30 times.
We say wow and you drink.
Would the Town Fair Tire text line be in favor of the wow segment?
You have to ask my wife. She's in charge of all stuff
probably
like that.
Not if it involves alcohol.
Yeah, no, exactly. It doesn't have to be alcohol based. Anyways.
Yeah, but that makes it easy to follow. He said wow.
We'll play it on Friday night, then. We'll play it on Friday night at RJ's. How about that?
Okay. Put up a sign like the K's when somebody strikes out.
Yeah.
W for WOW.
W.
The WOW counter.
The WOW counter.
We'll go to you.
Ding.
I tell you what. We'll go to the America East Championship game if UVM's in it with – I got to turn this music off while we're talking about WOW. But we'll go to the America East Championship game if UVM's in it. I'll hold up a W, you hold up an O, we'll get Rich to hold up a W,
wow!
And then we'll get like seven other fans to hold up W's, and we'll just go, wow, every time UVM scores.
I like that.
But don't paint your chest, though. Use the signs.
I'd rather do that.
Please don't paint your chest. You seem like a paint your chest
kind of
guy.
Yeah, I was going to go shirtless and do that. That's like, loved it. If you got it, flaunt it.
You can't do that because you could never paint your chest because you need like 7 showers just to do the show. Nevertheless, getting paint off.
I know
off
that.
You.
And that you know what? I don't, thing, I don't look good in yellow and green, but what the hell?
You don't look good in yellow, green, blue, red. Purple.
How many showers a day do you take?
3.
That's insane.
And that's
why is that insane?
Who takes 3 showers a day?
I take one when I get up in the morning. I take one before I come to work. Got to feel fresh. And then I take one when I get home.
It's so bizarre.
Because I'm dirty next to you. I feel so dirty. I got to take a shower.
No, but that's a true story, ladies and gentlemen. He
actually
I change
my socks 3 times a day, too. Every time.
God, how many pairs of socks do you have?
I have 1,000. I'm serious.
And they're all the same white socks that roll up.
Do they match?
Some are Nike socks, which I wear for basketball. Some I wear with my slippers, and some I have
for
my tennis shoes.
I picture you walking around like Uncle Leo in Seinfeld.
That's exactly what it is. It's exactly what I do.
Jerry, hello, Uncle Leo. 3 showers a day.
Yeah.
When you do nothing, imagine when you actually play.
Oh, then it goes up to 4. I shower when I go home after a game, too. I shower before a game and after a game.
Well, I guess I shouldn't go, because it's better than not showering for 4 days.
Right. Yeah. Stay fresh. You know?
All right. Anyways.
Yes, give us the spring training.
It just seemed weird to me. I had to bring it up.
Yes. All right. What do we got for spring training?
Russell Wilson. My Russell Wilson. Yesterday, my worst fears happened.
Wilson.
Felix Hernandez got hurt, and Russell Wilson was playing for the Yankees.
I'm not being jovial about it.
The two worst things that could happen to me. Russell Wilson talking about his moments at Yankee spring training. He did hit 6 home runs in batting practice. And he turned some double plays with Didi Gregorius.
Definitely one of the coolest things I've ever done. You know, ever since I was a young kid, I always dreamed to be a Yankee. I always watched him. My favorite player was Derek Jeter, you know, growing up and watching him and his professionalism, how he played the game and the competitiveness he played with, the passion, the love, the joy that he played with every day, watching some of the greatest players in the world.
I know you don't care about Wilson at Yankee.
He's no Tim Tebow.
Stop. He's better at basketball, or better at football and baseball.
Wow.
He certainly is better at NFL football.
Is he better in baseball than Tim Tebow?
I cannot answer that because he has no history. Tebow at least has a year
just
of
like
minor leagues. Tebow was better last year than a lot of people expected.
I would say he's better than I gave him credit for.
Plus, he might be the nicest human on earth.
He's not a real major leaguer, but I know he's going to end up in the major leagues for the Mets.
He will be there strictly for marketing purposes.
Right, but he's not a real major leaguer, though. He's not even really a AAA guy, is he?
When the Mets are 52-78 with 40 games to play, they'll bring him up and fill City Field.
Exactly. That's what they'll do there.
Look, Wilson being there, it's cool for him and it's cool for the young players. As far as he goes, his dad was a Yankees fan. His dad's passed away. It's another connection between him and his dad as he gets older. I'm a sucker for those kind of romantic storylines. I think that's cool. The Seahawks are obviously cool with it. That would be one of my things that would have had me, you know, bothered by this is if the Seahawks were worried about it. They obviously have given their clearance. I think it's cool for Wilson. It's cool for a young player to sit and hear about preparation in a different sport, especially the minor leaguers and even some of the young major leaguers. I don't know if CC Sabathia is going to take things away from Russell Wilson other than like, hey, here's my buddy Russell Wilson. But for a Gleyber Torres, for a young player on that Yankees roster, I think it could be beneficial. This is a can't lose to me.
No, this is not Will Ferrell playing in 9 different positions in the same day in Arizona. But that was fun. That was really fun. It was a one-off, and it was a good time. And who is the country singer there that played for the Padres for 1 year?
I don't know.
The biggest country singer.
Tim McGraw.
No, he's the biggest in history.
Oh, I don't know. Garth Brooks.
He played for the Padres for a little while.
Oh, look at me.
This isn't like that. I mean, clearly Russell Wilson has some baseball talent. He had a great career as a probably a 3-sport star for all I know. He's just one of those guys that's good at everything.
There's not too many 2-sport or 3-sport guys that end up picking baseball. You could.
Jeff Samardzija.
I was thinking Samardzija. Well, the best one was
Sanders.
Well, Deion Sanders was a football player.
They were prime. Yeah. Brian Jordan.
Brian Jordan was, I was going to say, Dave Winfield.
Yes.
Dave Winfield was probably the best of the bunch there.
Well, if we're going about
Dave DeBuscher.
No.
Didn't he play 2 sports?
No, but you're thinking of the actor from The Rifleman, who was drafted by the Celtics and the Dodgers. Yeah, that's. I think that's who you're thinking about. I forget his name. Yeah.
DeBusschere.
What were you just saying, Brady?
Wilson also talked about what he sees out of the Yankees themselves.
I think for me, the thing that I try to bring every day, no matter where I go, is that you know, having a championship mindset is an everyday thing. You know, it's wherever you go, you got to believe it, you got to think it, you got to dream it, you got to work at it, and you got to go after it. And so, you know, you can tell that's here already.
I mean, that's the cool thing. That's the message. That's why he's there to say that. He's got all the dopey phrases. The separation is in the preparation. Have a championship attitude. Win each day. He's got the sports psychology phrases down. If I'm a young player,
right,
it's beneficial.
I think it was very smart. I mean, and you got to love what the Yankees did. Not only did they bring him in, they traded to be able to bring him in. They traded for him.
The other thing that I think is an underrated value to having Russell Wilson there is him being there, especially so early in camp, allows Giancarlo Stanton to kind of go under the radar at the early part of Yankee spring training.
Yes.
Everybody, all the baseball people want to see Stanton, but the general public is interested in the sideshow stuff. And Wilson presents the sideshow stuff
and gives
Stanton a chance to get acclimated, and also takes the attention off Aaron Judge's surgically repaired shoulder and allows him to just get back into the mix of things. I think this is a benefit, especially the timing also.
Travis Simone says Chuck Connor.
Chuck Connors it is.
Was the rifleman. Chuck Connor.
Yes.
Oh, Connors. Yes.
Connors, yeah. And Gene Conley is the guy you're talking about for the Celtics.
Okay. Oh,
and DeBusschere did pitch.
Oh, he did pitch. So yeah. You were right about that.
He threw
DeBusschere.
A shutout once.
Oh, I didn't know
Major
that.
Major league shutout.
Did not know that. Well, I knew that Tom Glavine was drafted in the NHL.
Hockey,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, he was a big-time hockey player.
Andy in Burlington called in, and he left a message for you and says, I would be all in favor of the wow segment.
The wow segment. We may have to go ahead and do that.
Things that make us go, wow.
Things that make you go, wow.
Danny Ainge, by the way, another one.
Oh,
but
Danny
he didn't
Ainge
choose
good.
Baseball.
Well, no, but he played for the Toronto Blue Jays
third base.
Yeah.
But you're talking about people who chose, you said, your original statement
was people
who are two-sporters that choose baseball.
Our high school quarterback, I told you about him, he was the number one pick in the draft of baseball. He was drafted, I believe, by the Blue Jays. He was a catcher. And he said, don't draft me. I'm going to go play football.
Right.
And
so
they drafted him. So he said he went to play. It didn't work out because he was crappy in baseball, even though he had a great arm. Went to UCLA, played quarterback, and then played quarterback for the Redskins and the Raiders and played in the Super Bowl. Jay Schrader.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I mean,
he must be famous.
No, not that. He's just a not really washed up guy. Come on. He didn't.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, people know him.
Not really.
More than they know Arnie Spanier.
I bet you now 90% of the people have no idea who Jay Schrader is listening to us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Greg Wyszynski of ESPN says, sorry about that. My fault. So it was not me. I did not get him to
say,
hang
no, our fault. Tell him right back, our fault. Stupid question is what it was there. We have last story standing. We'll try to sprinkle in a little UVM also before we get out of here. Coming up next on 101.3 ESPN.
Men.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, we had two Last Story Standings, but you guys cowered at the one I wanted to do.
That's a little risque, even by my standards.
Should I tell everybody what it was that we're not going to do?
No.
No, I don't think so. If I think it's too much, it's way over the top.
Well, it's not dirty or anything. It's political is what it is.
I don't want that. Yeah.
Yes, it would certainly get some last second
phone calls. Oh, my goodness. It would blow up our top for entire text line.
Because I'll get the emails, and I just don't want that.
Even if we didn't even give our opinion. See, now I'm going to have to tell everybody the story?
Not in this day and age. You can't say anything.
Can I just tell the story?
No.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
You got something
funny? Bad.
Huh?
Is it that bad?
No, it's just in this day and age, you can't say anything.
All right, then I'll give you an Olympic story. The U.S. men's curling team, we know by now, they won the gold medal.
Yeah, they had one of the guys on with Wingo today.
Yep, they were coming back, they decided to go to Twitter and said, hey, I don't want to give the airlines, Delta, and said, hey, Delta, how about a free upgrade to first class? And Delta said, hey, congratulations on winning the gold, but no, we can't accommodate
back
that.
Back to row 23.
Yeah, we do have a window seat for you if that's okay. But no free first class upgrade for the curling team. Come on.
Gold medalist.
Is nobody going to give up their seat for the gold medal curling team?
Gosh, I would give up my seat and bow to them.
I mean, come on. I would have, I would have taken a different plane. I said, put me first class. Give it to the gold medal schlubs there.
Yeah, but the problem is if they start complaining, then it'll get all over the internet, and you know, and then all of a sudden they're not such good guys.
Well, were they going to complain that they didn't get a free upgrade?
That's such an unbelievable story that they won the gold.
I would have won the gold. So I would have won the gold medal on the plane around my neck. Yes. I wear it like just to the store shopping.
They probably do.
What's that around your neck? Oh, this thing is just my gold medal.
Yes, let me tell you.
Yeah, I just won a gold medal. That's all.
Well, I said it was funny at the Super Bowl meeting. Carolyn Joyce, 3-time silver medalist for Team USA in swimming, just having her walk around casually with her silver medals on.
I would never take it off.
I also got to try on a Yankees World Series ring and a Seahawks Super Bowl ring.
Wow, look at you.
Hanging out with the big shots.
Hey, you are hanging out with the – did it fit? Usually those things are so big.
The Seahawk one was that one fit. The Yankee one was huge. Yeah.
Well, that they're like, shocking. And they weigh so much.
The Seahawks one was bigger than the Yankees one, but the Yankee one was bigger size wise.
That Yankee one was a little older too.
2009.
Yes.
Busy evening, Brady. What's on Champaign Valley game night?
Derek O'Grady, UVM men's basketball graduate assistant, took over for our buddy Andrew.
6:30 pregame. Vermont on the road, take it on Maine. Last regular season game. And then, of course, the tournament that will start, the conference tournament there. For Brady, for Rich, I'm Arnie. Champaign Valley Game.com coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.